All right. Today is September 17th, 2025, and the time right now is going to be three. I think it's 3:01 p.m. And this is the Board of Directors regular meeting for the OFL William S. Hart Incorporated. I want to welcome everybody who's on the line today. And Melissa, can we find out who's on the line today?
Absolutely. For the board members, we have Harold Eggert and Peter Russell. For the staff, we have myself, Melissa Bauer, Ileana Kyriakos, Janelle Lee, Arlene Reyes, Candice Vardner, Catherine Davidson, Lovik Mansourian, Michael Leonesio, Richard Moreno, and Stephanie Gray, and Yelena Shapiro. Is there anybody that I've missed? Great. Now I will read out the teleconference locations. The first location, 320 North Halsted Street, present. Next, 27616 New Hall Ranch Road.
Present.
Thank you. Next, 18824 Soledad Canyon Road.
Present.
Thank you. And 900 North Norma Street.
Present.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
All right. Moving on to public comment. Members of the public may address the board at regular meetings on agenda or non-agenda items that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, and at special meetings on agenda items only by using the call-in information set forth above. Speakers may be called in the order that requests are received or grouped by subject area. We ask that comments are limited to 2 minutes with no more than 15 minutes per single topic so that as many people as possible may be heard. By law, the board is allowed to take action only on items on the agenda. The board may, at its discretion, refer a matter to school staff or calendar the issue for future discussion. At this time, are there any members of the public on the line right now for the OFL William S. Hart Incorporated Board of Directors regular meeting? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move on to items for information and or action. Item 4A, the consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Peter, did you get a chance to go over items 4A1 through A6?
I did.
All right. Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda, please?
Peter Russell, so moved.
All right, I second that. And can I get a roll call vote, Peter?
Peter Russell, aye.
I also vote aye. The consent agenda, item 4A, is approved. All right, moving on to item 4B, information items. B1 is the OFL William S. Hart Charter Update. Stephanie.
Good afternoon, board members. I have your charter update for September. Our enrollment is Canyon Country Center has approximately 104 students enrolled. The Santa Clarita Center, approximately 89 students, for a total charter enrollment of 193 students. For academics, the William S. Hart Charter ended the 24-25 school year very strong. Our one-year graduation cohort rate was an impressive 91.5%. Our average MSP was 89.2%, and core course completion was 7.4 for English, 6.8 for math, 8 for science, and 8.1 for social science. The charter had another successful credit enrichment in month one and two to support district students recovering credits to help them be on track for graduation. We served approximately 1,476 district students and achieved 92% retention with 100% MSP. Our SGI classes for the fall semester have begun, and we are excited to see how our students will excel academically in the 25-26 school year. For trips and sports, students had an amazing time on the San Francisco Food and Art Tour at the end of the 24-25 school year. Our first trip of the new school year was to Washington, D.C., where 30 students and four chaperones were able to visit our nation's capital and learn about the incredible national monuments. Next month, the charter will embark on a new international journey to Australia and New Zealand. The final preparations for this trip are underway. We are looking forward to the start of our basketball and volleyball season. Practice is underway, and the first game is happening on Friday. Good luck to the Sharks. For educational partner engagement, the charter ended the 24-25 school year with lots of fun events, including senior awards, prom, and graduation. School staff and parents were able to celebrate the students' hard work and accomplishments. Planning is underway for a parent appreciation event where we hope to recruit parents to join our PAC and DLAC advisory groups. This year, student councils are forming, and we are looking forward to all of the fun events they will host. During the first month of this school year, each center had a spirit week filled with lots of engaging activities to welcome students back, cultivate positive teacher-student interaction, and build a strong foundation for this year's school spirit. Can I answer any questions for anyone?
None here. Thank
No
you.
Questions. The numbers look good, and those trips, the first one there to Washington, D.C., probably was a good one. And then upcoming, that New Zealand, Australia trip is going to be probably really great.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's really excited for that one. All
Thank you very much, though.
right, thank you.
Before we move on to the financial update, Alex, it just is running a little late.
Good.
So if you'd like, we can move on to C2.
Sure.
Alternative Graduation Pathways by Richard Moreno.
All right, moving on. Let's go ahead and we will skip item B2 at the moment and go on to action items.
C2.
C2. Richard.
Good afternoon, board members and everyone on the call. I would like to present to you for consideration of approval the OFL William S. Hart Alternative Graduation Pathway Policy. While we continue our commitment to high expectations for college and career readiness, we also recognize our commitment. We also recognize that exceptional barriers such as homelessness, immigration status, health challenges, serious credit deficiencies, or similar hardships can derail a student's progress. For this reason, the school developed an alternative graduation pathway that will allow selected students to be exempt from some of the school's local requirements while still meeting the state's minimum graduation requirements to earn a high school diploma. As you may have noted, there are key provisions included in the policy. There are two alternative pathways: a 160 credit option for students who are in their fourth year or later and who have been enrolled at the school for at least 3 months and have fewer than 160 credits. The second option is a 130 credit option for severely credit deficient students who are already on an existing AB plan and are in at least their third year and could not reasonably complete all local requirements by the end of their fourth year. This is mainly students who are experiencing homelessness or are foster youth. Eligibility determination. Initial eligibility is recommended by a school counselor. Final approval requires consultation with the principal and director of schools. This is a team-based decision. Whether to offer a reduced credit plan and how many local requirements will be waived will be determined collaboratively by an administrator, counselor, teacher, and parent or guardian, or the adult student themselves. The discussion must address how waiving requirements may impact admission to post-secondary institutions, provide information on community college options, and clarify changes to the expected graduation date. Parent and guardian or adult student must give their consent. Parents or adult students must sign an acknowledgement form confirming they understand that reduced credits may impact the student's eligibility for UC or CSU admissions with the A through G requirements. Implementation and accountability. The superintendent or designee is responsible for establishing procedures and tracking and annually reporting to the CDE the number of students graduating under these exemptions. Fiscal impact. There are no additional costs associated with implementation at this time. However, any unforeseen costs will be absorbed in the school's operating budget. We worked with school legal to develop this policy, and both the director of schools and the superintendent is recommending approval of this policy. Does the board have any questions?
None here. No questions here.
If there are no questions, would the board like me to propose a motion?
Yes, please.
Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart Alternative Graduation Pathway Policy and grant the superintendent or designee to update, modify, or implement this policy in a manner to comply with applicable law.
Peter Russell, so moved.
I second it. Peter has moved and I have seconded. Then I get a roll call vote. Peter.
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C2 is approved.
Thank you.
Let's go back to item information item B2, the OFL William S. Hart financial update, so we can get to Alex in there. Alex?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, great. So this is a financial update for OFL William S. Hart as of the June 2025 close. So this is the first soft close for the school. We are in the middle of the audit period right now, so the numbers are going to be very close to these as presented, usually plus or minus any adjustments to the audit. So revenue for fiscal year 24-25 is coming in at $23,610,178. Moving on to expenses, first you have your certificated salaries and benefits subtotal for the school. And that's highlighted in blue at $10,659,356, or 45.15% of revenue. Next is the instruction related services subtotal just below. And that's $19,389,655, or 83.12% of revenue. Now, the next two subtotals are highlighted in green. These are non-instructional expenses, so they do not count towards the SB 740 requirements, 40 and 80. First, you have your operation facilities of $1,170,956, and then the administration and all our activities at $1,482,508. So towards the bottom third of your screen is the gap excess revenue for the school. And as of the first soft close for June, the school is projected to have excess revenue of $1,567,059, or 6.64% excess revenue percentage on the year. On page two of the SB 740 report, we can look at the need to spend calculations for the school. And highlighted in red, the school does not have a need to spend. The school is meeting and exceeding both of its required spending for certificate salaries and benefits. The overspend is $1,156,259. And then for instruction related services, the overspend is $613,258. So the excess revenue that was presented on the previous page for the school has remained the same at $1,567,059, or an excess revenue percentage of 6.64%. Before we proceed, are there any questions?
None here.
So the next document in the financial update is the income statement for the school. This is the actuals from July through June. So the numbers are very similar, just in a different format. You can see the revenue is the same, $6,310,178. The payroll for the school, this is your certificated, non-certificated, and their related benefits, is $10,918,079, or 46.24%. The school spends about 46% of its revenue on payroll costs. The total expenses for the school for fiscal year 24-25 is $22,043,119. The next page is the variance analysis. And for fiscal year 24-25, I'd like to note that there is nothing to report. So what we do is we take 1% of year-to-date expenses. In this case, the threshold would be $220,431. And any year-to-date actuals to budget that's either favorable or unfavorable are highlighted here, but there is nothing to report. The school does do very well in its budgeting. So the next document is the balance sheet for the school. So as of June 30th, 2025, OFL Weymouth Park has total assets of $23,278,114, total liabilities of $10,084,926, and total net assets of $13,193,189. The final document in this financial update is the cash forecast for the school. So as of June 30th, 2025, OFL Weymouth Park had cash in bank at $15,586,154. You can see in July 2025, it's not highlighted in blue, but it did. The school did disperse $1 million to OFL Ridgecrest as part of the startup loan. It was projected to have another in this financial update, in this cash forecast, that it is projected to have another cash disbursement of another $1 million. But at this point in time, the Ridgecrest may not need it right away, so we'll keep an eye on that. And with those two disbursements in the current budget for 25-26, at the end of June 30th, 2026, also we have as projected at $2,283,889 cash in bank. And that is the financial update for June 30th, 2025. Are there any questions?
None here, thank you. None here, looks great. All right, let's go ahead and go right into item C1, the OFL Weymouth Park resolution. I think that's right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2526-01, approval of the spending of funds received from Education Protection Account, the EPA, for fiscal year 2024-2025. Alex.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you for your patience. We're asking the board to consider review and consider approval of the OFL Weymouth Park Resolution 2526-01, which is the approval of the spending of funds received from the Education Protection Account for fiscal year 2024-2025. So in the previous board meeting, we asked for the projected expenses for 25-26. So this is for the actual spends in the fiscal year that we just passed, 24-25. So the fiscal impact, the school received EPA funding for 24-25 in the amount of $6,313,453. After the cover page is the resolution, followed by Exhibit A, which will show the actual spending. The certificate of salaries and benefits for the school totaled $5,745,242. And the employee benefits were $568,211. That's how the school spent their EPA funds. Are there any questions?
No questions here. None here.
Great. Should I propose a motion?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. Motion to approve the OFL Weymouth Park 2526-01, approval of spending funds received from the Education Protection Account for fiscal year 2024-2025.
Okay, so moved. Can I get a second?
All right, second.
All right, I have moved. Peter has seconded. Can I get a roll call vote? Peter.
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C1 is approved. Thanks, Alex. All right, going on back to Richard for item C3, the OFL William S. Hart dual enrollment policy.
Hello, Glenn. Hello again, board members and everyone on the call. Before your consideration of approval is the OFL William S. Hart dual enrollment policy. This policy provides a framework that will streamline dual enrollment participation and also further students' opportunity to earn both high school and college credit through a partnership with accredited community colleges with courses offered free of charge. As a summary of the policy, in order to participate in this program, students must meet eligibility requirements. Eligibility is open to students in grades 9 through 12. It requires counselor review of GPA, assessments, coursework rigor, attendance, and teacher input. A parent and guardian and counselor must approve. The policy also includes course location and supervision provisions, which state the following: courses may be at the charter school, college campus, or online. Students on college campuses are under college supervision, but remain subject to charter school policies. Charter school is not responsible for supervision, transportation, or liability of the student while on campus. A parent or guardian must sign an agreement form acknowledging the following. Students may be exposed to mature subject matter and adult learning in adult learning environments. The responsibility, they are responsible for their own transportation and behavior while on campus. And the charter school is not liable for injury or property damage while at the college. It includes credits and grading, and it states the following. College courses count towards both high school graduation and college credit. Grades for both the high school and college appear on both transcripts. A high school credit conversion scale is also provided. Additionally, there is language that allows for additional principal discretion, meaning the principal may approve exceptions on a case-by-case basis. In terms of the approval process, a dual enrollment application is required. A counselor, administrator, and parent or guardian signatures are also required. School counselors will also follow the counselor referral checklist. This tool will help school counselors successfully identify students and ensure that we assist them through the application process. We believe that with the adoption of this policy, it may contribute to an increase to the school's college and career indicator as noted on the California dashboard. The contract terms, it depends on each articulation agreement that the school comes into agreement with, and those are approved by the board. There's no fiscal impact identified at this time. The policy was developed in collaboration with school directors, school legal, and is recommended for approval by the superintendent. Does the board have any questions?
None here. I'm very happy to see the dual enrollment policy and very positive for the students to get ahead. Definitely.
It's definitely a good one.
Can you propose a motion, Richard?
I can. Motion to approve the OFL William S. Hart dual enrollment policy and grant the superintendent or designee the authority to update, modify, or implement this policy in a manner to comply with applicable law.
Peter Russell, so moved.
All right, I second. Peter has moved and I have seconded. And I get a roll call vote. Peter.
Aye.
I also vote aye. Item C2, the OFL William S. Hart. Take that back. Item C3, the OFL MSR dual enrollment policy is approved. Thank you, Wilson.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go into a closed session at this time. And the reason for that is going to go over a public employee performance evaluation.
Just close the door. Thank you, Yelena. All right, welcome back, everyone.
All right. During closed session, we did not take any action, and we're going to go ahead and move right on into adjournment. Can I get, before we do that, though, let's talk about the next meeting. Our next board meeting is going to be scheduled for November the 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. Any other comments before we do close, Peter?
None here.
Okay. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn then?
So moved.
All right. I second. Peter has moved and I have seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, Peter?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Meeting for William S. Hart Incorporated is adjourned at 3:37 p.m. Thanks, everybody, for coming on.
Thank you.